Welcome aboard the Shipshape Podcast, your ultimate destination for marine wisdom and expertise. Our skilled crew, comprised of top boating journalists and experts, is committed to delivering informative and captivating content week after week. We're eager to connect with and learn from our fellow mariners, and we encourage you to share our podcast with your friends. Remember, word of mouth is our lifeblood. And if you enjoy an episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. By doing so, you're helping us forge a robust community of mariners who can learn, collaborate, and exchange their experiences out on the water.
Today on the Shipshape Podcast, we talk with Walter Johnson, an accomplished sailor, real estate mogul, and the current president of Engel & Völkers, a premium yacht brokerage firm. His journey from the gusty races of regattas to heading one of the leading yacht brokerage firms, we hear his story. Your two co-hosts today are Meryl Shred. I'm a liveaboard on a Tashing Toshiba 36 in Boston, Massachusetts, and T.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. This is Talha Bhatti. I'm aboard my powerboat in Virginia. And today we're going to be speaking with Walter and learning about his adventures. Welcome to the show, Walter.
Well, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me be a part of your show. It's been quite a journey from growing up in Southern California, doing the racing circuit there. You know, I've had the opportunity to, you know, do multiple transpacs, sail up and down the California coast to Cabo San Lucas and beyond. So it's fun. And I always enjoy spending time with guys who are active in the boating field and love boating.
So, Walter, are you based out in California?
Right now, I'm in Florida, in our Florida office. So, Engel & Völkers Yachting. Engel & Völkers is a global real estate company. It started in the mid-70s in Hamburg, Germany. They're in 30 countries with 2,000 real estate offices, about 18,000 real estate advisors across their network. And then in 2006, they found their way into the yacht business in Monaco and wanted to get into yacht charter, working with all the mega yachts. And my wife and I had took my company and rolled it under a boutique real estate company in Southern California and really kind of worked to perfect that yacht to real estate to yacht referral network. You know, we always believe firmly that people who buy in the waterfront environment or buy near a marina have a love for the ocean and wanted to be a part of that environment. So we felt, gosh, it'd be really powerful to get the realtors in that environment to be able to refer their clients and help us educate them and help them be part of the maritime world. And once we got that to a certain level of success, we ended up on the Engel & Völkers radar, and they, Paul Benson, who's our partner, owns 40 locations across the Western United States. And then Anthony Hitt, who runs North America for Engel & Völkers, thought we'd be a good fit. And since then, we now have 4 regional locations. We're, you know, obviously Newport Beach was our first location. Then Naples, Florida, where I'm right now. And then we're in Tiburon, California, with a standalone site being built there. And then Annapolis, Maryland. So they're all great boating locations and fun places to go sailing. So it's exciting. It's an exciting journey.
Well, I've certainly heard a lot of different avenues people have gone down for pretty much getting the word out about their marine company. But one I've never heard is the connection between real estate and yachting. I mean, it does make sense, but, you know, quite a way of marketing.
It is. It is a way of marketing. And, you know, it really helps elevate all of our advisors. I have 35 guys on our team now, up and down the West Coast and up and down the East Coast. And it really kind of elevates our game. Every lesson learned and everything that they do to market and make realtors better in their spheres of influence are really applicable in the marine field. And I think wherever possible, if we can elevate our game, be more professional at what we do, be more attentive to our owners, try to be that bespoke service and develop clients for life, and be part of their whole life chain of, you know, moving up the brand, so then help them move back down, or just helping people who want to sell their home and go cruise the Great Loop, or go enjoy the Pacific Northwest, or some business guy who wants to put together a level 1 racing program and see what that world is all about. That, you know, developing a professional team and managing those assets and going and sailing about the world. So, you know, those are all opportunities that we find really exciting, and it adds to what we do. We do everything that every other yacht brokerage does. We list, buy, sell, charter globally. But we do it with the idea that we have this whole real estate complement in 30 countries that allows us to refer a friend or find a product in locations that most people wouldn't or wouldn't look. And I have 5 guys in Europe now, and it's pretty fun. It makes for a long day, but it makes it pretty fun.
Well, you sound pretty passionate about all of this. Where did all this passion start?
Oh, all this passion started when I was a young man and was introduced to sailing and was given the opportunity to drive a friend of mine's parents' boat. And I was like, wow, I get to drive this boat and do fun things. And I had a great mentor growing up, a guy named Jerry Miller, ran the sailing program in where I grew up in Long Beach, California. And he really helped ignite the passion in me with regards to boating. And I've been very fortunate. I've gotten to sail with some pretty amazing people. I was chosen by the Philippine government to help put together a program for their centennial celebrations in 1996, where we did a celebratory regatta from Acapulco to Manila.
How did you end up in the Philippines, though?
Well, we actually worked a year before finding the boat, which ended up being an Allen Andrews 52 called Persuasion that was built in Southern California. And then we got the boat prepped and brought it from Southern California down to Acapulco. Of course, that's, you know, 2,000 mile journey to get south to Acapulco. And then put together a deal with the Acapulco Yacht Club and the Subic Yacht Club and raced from Acapulco to Manila. And the boat's name was Manila Harbor Center. And the race went from Acapulco to Hawaii, Hawaii to Guam, Guam to Cebu. And then we bounced around several other ports before landing in Manila. So it was a great 3-month journey to do that event. For the, really, it was the celebration of both countries' centennials, and they were both freed by the United States in the Spanish-American War. So they have a shared culture and shared journey, and really wanted to celebrate the trade out of the Philippines, from China to the Philippines to really Europe in the, you know, the galleon era. So it was fun. Got to meet some fun people and do some fun things and enjoy racing from a, you know, going west as far as west becomes east. So, you know, not too many people get that opportunity to sail across the dateline and end up in the Philippines. And then I came back and spent some time with the team, and we did the South Asia racing circuit. So we sailed down in Malaysia and Thailand and Singapore. So it was quite the journey to do that, and something I reflect on that it was quite an honor to be part of their celebrations and just celebrate a period of yachting that pretty exciting.
I was going to say that this is before the days of all the electronics and blah, blah, blah and everything, right? This is old school sailing.
It was old school sailing. I mean, well, back in the galleon era, it's totally old school sailing. I don't know how those guys managed to make their treks, but they did it. They obviously did it really well. For us, we had full GPS technology in that time, and we were able to get where we wanted to go. It's not like today. Today, you know exactly where you are every second.
Autopilot, you know, right?
Yeah. For sure. But, you know, it's always great opportunities when you get to sail across the Pacific. I was able to do several transpacs and as well as a whole bunch of races from Southern California down to Cabo San Lucas. You know, so I've got a lot of sea miles under my belt. That helps drive my passion. I just want to help people enjoy their time on the water, do it safely, be prepared. Mostly now we're about helping people with their yacht to real estate transition. People who buy a beautiful waterfront home and have that beautiful lift on the back of their house and are looking for that trophy to place there so they can end up with lifetime memories on the water. It's one of those things that we find that people today realize that the best way to connect with their children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren is to get them out on the water, have them put their cell phones away, and yep, spend some time really connecting with people one-on-one. And we find that those people find that time to be virtually invaluable. And nothing brings me more pleasure than to see people acquire time, lifetime memory time like that. And there's no better place to do it than out on the water.
For sure. I mean, there's an overall trend within luxury industries for luxury of experience. And, you know, as you've mentioned, the memories that people get on the water, they last forever. So let me ask you, you know, obviously you've been involved in a ton of different races. What was the most challenging race that you've been in? Can you give us a, I don't know, disaster story?
You know, we're fortunate. I've been pretty fortunate not to have too many disasters, but I have to say that one leg or one time I'll remember for the rest of my life is really sailing from Hawaii to Guam. When you leave Hawaii and you're going to Guam, it's 3,600 miles. And, you know, when you're halfway out there, you're pretty much the furthest away from land you're ever going to be. And it's not like someone's going to come and save you if there's a problem. And fortunately, when we did that in the 1990, it was early 1997, it was a light El Nino event. And so the norms, the storms across the North Pacific were pretty tough. And we had a choice to make, really, to stay in the horse latitudes or try to work our way north to try to get some more breeze to work ourselves across to Guam. And we worked ourselves north, got ourselves sucked into the storm track and had 4 days of near hurricane winds. I mean, we're bare pole to storm trysail back and forth. And it was, you know, until we could finally just find a little break in the weather and make a hard left turn and head back south again. Fortunately, we, you know, other than damaging some gear and ego and having some sleepless nights, we managed to make it just fine. And it was pretty interesting to end up on Guam and the history of that island with regards to World War II and its importance during that period of time, and to spend some time with leadership on that island to learn more about its and its customs and how all these snakes and birds and things arrived to the island that weren't indigenous to it because of them finding their way onto boats and ships and ending up.
Wow.
So that was a lifetime memory and something that will always stick with me just because it was just us against nature. And, you know, we had this satellite phone to kind of connect with the world and let them know that we were alive. But it wasn't like anyone was ever going to come and get us if something happened. We were totally on our own. And if we did lose a rig or whatnot, we would have had to have make, you know, only way forward was to go forward. So it was about getting to where we needed to go, and we did it fine. But, you know, there's always great boating adventures. You know, there's nothing like watching the sunrise while you're out boating or beautiful sunsets. And it's those types of memories that last with you forever.
So, Walter, I was wondering, because a lot of our listeners, they haven't been in that situation where you are the only sort of blip for miles and miles and miles and miles. Yeah. Describe that more.
Yeah. You know, I tell you, when you're the only blip, you realize how big the ocean is, and how small you are. Right. And, you know, when we were out in the middle of the Pacific, we had 40-foot swells with wind waves on top of that. And our anemometer stopped at 80. So, you know, we knew it was pegged and we were in excess of that. And, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, you knew if you did everything right and everybody did what they needed to do, that we would be fine and get through it. But it's one of those things where it is, you really start to rely on your team and rely on your preparation and knowing that you've done all the good things right to be prepared. And, you know, it's just about keeping moving forward. And, you know, finally, when we got ourselves back south and got in more tropical climates and got out of the storm track, you know, it ended up being a beautiful sail. And arriving was one of those special, you really, it's like, I think most people who race Transpac, because this is a Transpac year, you know, they do it because it's a sense of camaraderie amongst the team. But it's also that sense of arrival. When you finally arrived, you really have that feeling that you've accomplished and done something. You've transversed an ocean and you've arrived somewhere as a team. And whether you win, play, show, or just go, it's that every competitor has that sense of that they've accomplished something and made it happen. And it's about that experience of really untying the ties that hold you back and heading out and being part of the team, getting the boat. Your whole life becomes the boat. Your whole life becomes a different routine.
So obviously you've done a ton of sailing. At what point did you get into yacht brokerage? Did you immediately go into yacht brokerage? Did you go leave the industry? What that look like?
Back and forth. I mean, I did a lot of professional sailing, a lot of program management, like managing the water events for the Philippine government for the Galleon Regatta. I helped do some real estate opportunities with various groups, because when you're part of a team or you're working on building teams, it's a skill that's transversible. But my true passion has always been boating, building boating, helping boating be better, bringing more people into the sport, having junior sailors have a great program, learning programs so they can become proficient sailors, and helping yacht clubs and programs regenerate themselves. The only way they regenerate themselves is through their junior program and then their J Flag membership, so that way they can all transition into membership and continue. It's one of those things where we're not always here forever, and every yacht club has attrition just because people have life changes. Only way they sustain themselves is to continue to be bringing people into the sport.
Well, you bring up a pretty good point, right? And that's the sailing side of the boating industry. And when you look at yacht brokerage in general, you usually either see just sailboats or just power boats, but it looks like you have both. Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to run a business with powerboat and sailing, right? The sailing market is its own unique market. Can you talk on that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, the sailing market is definitely unique. I mean, there's a lot more to it. It's also a shrinking market in the last 10 years. People's value of time, it's easier for them to turn the key and go 20 knots upwind in a powerboat than it is to spend that time tacking and sailing. Their time value is such that they're not ready to take off and spend a day to transverse what they could do in a couple hours in a powerboat. But there's some specialness about that quietness and tranquilness and being part of making the boat go with what you can't see, right? You can't really see the wind. You can only see what the wind does, is interaction with the sea and the sails. So it's also working to try to get people more active in doing sailing events, and whether it's just hardcore racing or it's actually just, hey, why don't we all just spend the time and sail to a destination and make that event. It's fun having both. I have a bunch of people who are very proficient sailors, ex-sailmakers, guys that just love boating, just love going out with their group of buddies and making it happen. And so it's fun because we're always out trying to help people reconnect. There's a big transfer now as the great generation moves on and the next generation comes in helping them find classic boats or boats that can be refurbished and rebuilt and brought back to their former glory, and have them go out and do some sailing events and make it fun.
If you had a magic wand right now and you could wish for anything, how would you change up kind of the structure of what sailing is today? I mean, as you've mentioned, part of it is having the regattas and the experiences to get new boaters in.
I think the best thing that sailing had going for it was, you know, when John F. Kennedy was videotaped sailing his boat, and in that romance period of time in the early 60s, got a lot of people excited about going boating and going sailing. Sailboats were affordable. You know, there was a lot of tremendous manufacturers, post-war manufacturers. Fiberglass became the go-to product. So you could build boats for an affordable price point. And that got a lot of people into boating. If you go to a lot of marinas these days, you'll see a lot of great old boats, but they're not going anywhere. And it's really getting people back in touch with that romance of why they want to go boating and the why, right? And it's really, I think he said it the best, that we all have an affinity for the sea, that the same salt content in each one of our tears is the same salt content in the ocean. And there's we all have that natural connection, and it's really working to ignite that natural connection within each individual who has the ability to spend the money to go boating and understand that there's a lot more to it. You can get a lot more value out of that time than just some of the other opportunities that are out there. I think we're getting to the point of time where people have the ability to have more time. Technology is giving people the ability to manage their time better. And if people get smarter about time blocking and utilizing their time and realizing that it's really helpful and beneficial if they block time to go do something that connects them with the world, there's no better place for them to get that than through boating, and specifically sailboating. I always tell people, sailboats, they help you put time on the calendar. There's always something to do. There's something to repair, something to fix, something to plan for. It really helps you schedule a lot of time and forward-looking time. Like, I'm going to get the boat ready and we're going to do this and that. We're going to go sail to this destination. And that whole act of just doing that really ties you back to times of yore and that whole explorer that we have within us to go boating. And so I think boating, sailboating really needs that modern day person to ignite the passion within and get people out boating and make it happen. And I think that time is now arrived, and me and my team do the best that we can all the time to, you know, tell people, look, there's no better time than the present. Go out and go boating, make it fun.
Well, it sounds like, you know, the sailing industry is about to have a renaissance. We had done an interview with Roger Moore over at Nautical Ventures, and he was himself about to start opening up brokerage for sailboats. And so, you know, you can definitely start to see a trend here.
Well, there's definitely a trend, and there's lots of great European manufacturing building some really great boats, and they're doing a great job with it. It's just a matter of, as things turn over, as old boats go away, the new boats that come in, I really hope that there's a more balanced opportunity with sailboats. We transact a lot of race sailboats and move them from one region to another. It's exciting to see a lot of sailing and enthusiastic sailing being created in the Great Lakes. I'm really looking forward to seeing how all that comes together this summer. And so wherever we can be a part of that, we're always excited about being a part of that.
You've been in the marine industry for some time, and so you're an old guard at this point. What has been your keys to success that have managed to get you this far?
Oh, I think just belief and passion. I think if you have belief and passion, that gets people excited. And if you have belief and passion, you can project confidence. And, you know, I always tell my friends and people that we're in the turning the why nots into whys. And, you know, everybody has a dream. People buy boats with their hearts. They fall in love with their whole romance and idea with it, and they fall in love with their heart. And then it's the brain gets involved, and they start turning everything in the heart into why nots. Why? I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have a spot. I don't have this. And it's our job to really walk them through that decision-making tree and turn why nots into whys, and let them understand there's more whys than why nots. And once they get to a tipping point, then they're ready to roll. And then for us, it's just a matter of staying in contact with our clients, really develop them as raving fans and clients for life, because they are your spokespeople, right? They are the ones that are talking about you when you're not there. And if you make them into people who are helping grow the sport and they're excited and proud of that opportunity, then they're going to refer you because you're your friend and you're someone who guided them through the process and they have confidence in it. And so the more we can perpetuate that process and develop raving fans, develop people who are really excited about what they do and their time on the water, it's great. And a lot of that is just teaching them that the hardest 5 feet is the 5 feet coming in at the end of the day. And if we teach them to go slow like a pro and make it fun, it's going to end well every time. And it's always a good story to tell. So, you know, it's just imparting that wisdom and that boating ability to people. So that way they're good mariners. They're helping train all the people who come with them to be good mariners. They're being respectful of the sea. It's a good thing. It's a good spot to be in. And, you know, for me, it's about just having, I mean, I've always had that passion. Boating was life-changing for me. It allowed me to meet a lot of great people. It allowed me to do some adventures that are only a few people have ever been able to do. And so if I can get more of those people and get more people out there, then we've done a good job.
And so you sort of mentioned that, like, once people get into it, like, have in your personal experience, are they like hooked? Like, What's the lifeline on something like that?
Yeah, no, we find that we get them in, they get hooked, and it's a part of their life. And, you know, I try my best to stay in touch with all of our past clients and check in with them and see how they're doing with their life journey and their boating journey. It's always grateful to hear their stories and how grateful they are that they were able to spend really kind of amazing moments with their family and friends. And every boater has a lifestyle or a lifespan. And it's whether it's 3, 5, 10, 20 years, it's hopefully they're going from boat to boat to boat and growing up the boat tree, finding that they need more space because they have more friends, or that they want to go on longer excursions and transverse that sea and or do the Great Loop, you know, or sail across the Atlantic. You know, there's so many great destinations to go. And with today's weather routing and technology, there's every reason to do it safely. Back when the explorers went, they didn't have weather routing. They didn't have technology that told them where they were at any point in time and allowed them to run away from storms rather than running into storms. And it's every reason for people today to go boating and be safe and do it in windows that you have the best opportunity for success. You know, there's some great weather people out there who can give you great windows to transverse and do whatever you need to do if you just properly plan. I always tell people, you know, proper planning prevents poor performance or prevents poor outcome. And, you know, it's being respectful of the weather and being respectful of the sea, and then just using all your skills and abilities to go out and have a great time, whether you're power boating or sim boating.
And I saw you like stare out wistfully, you know, when you were telling a couple of these stories. Give us some of your favorite client stories.
You know, I mean, I have so many great clients. I mean, there's some of them I can't really say their name, but I can tell you some of their stories because they are who they are. It's really those clients who are looking to spend time with their kids. I have one guy who's just a very successful entrepreneur. He saw that his kids were preteens going into being their teenage years, and he realized that he only had this unique window of time to reconnect with them and spend time with them. And his time that he remembered the best was when his parents took him boating and they were really able to work together as a team and really bond as a family. And he was so excited about that opportunity. And it's been such a fun thing for me to watch them, the family, grow and mature and bond over their posts on, you know, Instagram and Facebook of them going out boating. It's been a pretty exciting part to be a part of that journey. And I've got other clients who are looking to do that with their grandchildren, and they see this their last, their time to really connect and impart their skills and what they've learned boating with the next generation. That's one of the things I really like about sailing and yacht club life and legacy boats. Like, certain clubs just have legacy boats that are a part of their program. And, you know, dad learned how to sail, granddad learned how to sail, and now the great grandkids are in the program. And you can see, you know, multi-generations there sharing that moment and imparting their wisdom and showing them how to tie knots and telling them about the tide and current and their times out on the podium and what to do next, right? And so those sorts of things are things that stick with me that I just love to share.
Ahoy, investors. Are you on the lookout for a unique opportunity to invest in a thriving industry? Set your sights on ShipShape, the innovative platform connecting boat and yacht owners with top-notch marine service providers. Our team is committed to revolutionizing the marine repair and refit market in North America. But we can't sail these seas alone. With your support, we can enhance our platform and create a significant impact in the industry. Don't let this exciting investment opportunity drift away. Contact us today to learn more about joining our voyage. Reach out to us at info@shipshape.pro.
Obviously, you know, a hot topic within the industry right now is the fact that there's so many new boaters coming into the industry, right, that have never even been on a boat, and also women entering the industry. How have you seen any of that go down? Have you run into new boaters or women buying boats? Or?
Yeah, I've been pretty blessed in helping yacht clubs start a lot of women's sailing programs and really realize that whether it's a husband and wife team, that the wife is the one that's in charge of doing things that she really needs to have a set of skills about to be safe and be confident. And so, women teaching women in a women's sailing program really offers a lot of value to clubs and regions, just because it can speak the language together and move through the process together. And having, women who are been in boating for years and years, mentoring women who are just coming into the sport, gives them a lot of confidence and just time, just that bonding time. And that's nothing more powerful than that. Fortunately, now there are a lot of great training programs, a lot of regional training programs. ASA has done a great job of putting together a schedule of items that people should know to go boating. That ASA grew out of a yacht club program that then got morphed into being, hey, how can I get regular people insured to go sail my boats and make it so that I know they're going to make it back in one piece? And then U.S. Sailing took that lead and trumped it up and created their own programs, which are then themselves very viable, whether it's all the power boating programs or all the sailing programs. And so I think there's more opportunities today for new boaters to immerse themselves in these programs and go through the process of learning how to be proficient boaters and be very safe. There's a lot of great videos, a lot of great tutorials, but really there's no other place than just to go out and have the tiller in your hand and to make it work, or just to go out and learn how to drive a boat. I tell people, look, if you can drive a shopping cart, you can drive a boat. You can make it go wherever you want. You just got to know where left and right, and you've got it. And, and then never go slower, never go faster than you want to run into something is a great lesson. And, you teach some of those basics to people, and then the rest of it, they'll get it. It always amazes me that, you can get your 100-ton license, but never really have to go and prove that you can drive a 100-ton boat. I've got a client that I'm working with now in Europe to buy a 70-foot powerboat, and he wants to drive it himself. And there's a great, great powerboat course in Southern California that I direct people to. And then there's a great school in San Diego where you can go get your captain's license. And I said, you need to learn to drive than to do. It's just going to make it a lot better.
For sure.
It's really, for me, it's been exciting to watch the sport morph over the years and grow, whether it's the powerboat side or the sailboat side, and the pathways for people to learn and grow and do. And, there are opportunities for young kids to make racing and sailing their career, and they get to meet a lot of really tremendous, powerful CFOs and CEOs and business owners and help mentor them and grow and have them go and do something different or fun in their lives. I think everything we do always begins and ends with people. I tell all my guys, we're in the people meeting business, and then we're in the mm-hmm. people service business. We're about trying to connect people with the water, and that's the most natural thing in the world. We just got to stop, prevent the impediments that people have and the fears and aspirations they have about going boating. And if we can get them to go boating and spend time, there's no better time. So, and
that's it, sells itself.
It does sell itself. And there's a lot of brokers out there who realize it sells themselves, and all there are just might do just the transaction. And for me, it's not only growing my sales team and helping them be the best they can be and be the best in their spheres of influence and help them grow and become better champions of the sport, but it's also helping us stay in contact with our clients and help them grow and be better boaters. And if we can be that pathway through the yacht to real estate to yacht network to capture people early in their dreaming process, we're better capable of helping them through the decision tree to get the right boat, to make sure their dock is suitable for what they want to get, and that what they are looking to buy will give them the opportunities to have the dreams that they want to have out on the water.
Nice. So before we dive more into sort of the boat brokerage itself, you sort of mentioned sales, and I know our listeners love hearing tips and tricks. What would be like your top three tips for like sales in boating?
Yeah, I think you said it. Boating sells itself. It's really just having that overall boating knowledge to impart on people, and then being able to be sincere in answering their questions and then walking them through that decision process. Sometimes that decision process will lead you to the point, well, they're not ready to buy a boat. It's not their time. And that's okay. We're here to be advisors and advise them through the process and be there for when they're ready and when the time is right, and be there through their entire boating journey. And I look at it as a journey because they often go from one boat to the next boat to the next boat. And we want to be there to help them in their search. I mean, YouTube's been great. A lot of other services have been great. People get to see a lot of great pictures and learn a lot about everything that's out there. But us being a firm product of knowledge and having great experience and imparting that experience onto our customers is the best. And it's really, it's a relationship business. It's being sincere and having their best interests, helping them drive towards that was the best choice for them. Some people will say, gee, I want to have this 60-foot boat. And you go, well, what was the last boat that you really spent a lot of time on? And it was their family's, you know, 13-foot Boston Whaler on the lake in the summertime. I'm like, well, you're not going to be able to make that leap. Let's get you something so you can further develop your skills, spend that time. And then here's some great schools and some great places to go to get the knowledge. So that way we can get you insured and get you all set up. So when you're ready to jump in that 60-foot boat, you can do it. And life is great. I mean, when I was a kid, the boat selling techniques were, hey, where's your money? Here's a 6-pack of beer, shove you off the dock, and I hope you have fun, right? and you know, sometimes that ended up well and sometimes it didn't end up very well.
Not so well.
Yeah. You know, and for us, we want to make sure that boating's hard enough as it is. The wind and current is always changing. Every time you try to come into a dock, it's always going to be different. It's never going to be exactly the same. And so, you know, you have to be able to make adjustments as adjustments are needed. And having that open-eyed awareness and the skills to make it happen is really important. Boating today is simpler than it ever was. Vovo's done an amazing job to make boating simple, and they're getting it to the point now where between them, it's a race between them and Mercury Marine to have boats that will be like a Tesla and actually dock themselves. It's really close, and it's going to be a game changer to some extent, because you see people get the boat in the breezeway, the boat will know where it is, they'll hit a button, and you know, the boat will do its thing and park, and all you gotta do is tie it up. You know, it's getting a little bit harder for the sailboat market. I know Beneteau tried having an articulating sail drive that never really worked too well. But I think as the powerboat business gets in that direction, we're gonna find with balanced stern thrusters that things will get to the point where it'll be a lot simpler than it ever was at any time.
For sure. Past, 360 so. Degree bod drives, you know, the works. What about racing though? Is that something you recommend, like straight off the bat? I mean, I know you've done a lot. Is that one way to get good experience?
Yeah, it's always a great way to get a great experience. Every beer can night at a yacht club, there are boats looking for people to go just to have the ability to train and learn and grow and be on the rail and be part of the team. And so there's always opportunities to get in to the race scene and just making yourself available and go boating. Most boaters at most clubs tend to be very accommodating to new people because they realize that they need them. And it's a great way to start, great way to grow. I mean, you may have just a job and that is a very finite job, but as you learn and mature and become a bigger part of the team, you can get as complicated as you want.
Throughout this discussion, we've certainly talked about attracting boaters and new boaters and the experiences on the water. And you've been in the marine industry long enough. So let me ask you, what are your thoughts on workforce development within the marine industry and kind of where we're at with things?
Yeah, well, it's a big transition. I mean, it's one generation exits and the next generation comes in. There's always a shortage of people, and there's a lot of regional opportunities where they're getting involved and they're really focusing on workforce development and training those technicians, electricians, and mechanics and people to work on boats. There's a demand for it. And as boating resurges and people have more time to go boating, it's going to need more people to assist. And so there's so much opportunity to, whether it's boat management, or it's, you know, being in the boat repair business, the boat cleaning business. You know, I tell most of my customers, I go, when you're buying a boat, you're essentially investing in a thoroughbred horse. And if you looked at your boat as a thoroughbred horse, how would you maintain that horse, right? You would make sure it has a place to stay. You would make sure that there's someone who's going to take care of it when you're not there, right? It needs to be washed. It needs to be fed. It needs to get exercised, but it needs to have its vet visits. Otherwise, you end up with a very expensive dead horse. And no one wants that, right? No one wants to go riding on an overweight, you know, slow horse. And so if you look at your boat as a thoroughbred horse, you need to really plan for the time that you're not using it. And most people use their boats about 100 hours a year. And if you manage that within all the hours of the day and all the hours of the year, it's a very small number. And so it's really important to have that boat manager who's going to go and check on the systems and make sure the seacocks move, because you're not going to do it. And you want to make sure that it gets run and run up to temp and that all the systems work. So that way, when you do go and use it, it all works, and it all works as it should, because all these things, you know, essentially were bus motors that were meant to be run every day. And we decided to morph them into a marine environment, and, you know, they're meant to be run. And so I try to impart that on people, because if they think of their boat as a thoroughbred horse, then they'll hopefully treat it that way and make sure that when it's sitting away, when it's out of sight, out of mind, that there's actually somebody who has it on the top of their mind to check in on it, make sure that it's tied properly, that nothing has changed, the bottom is clean, and that everything works. And that will help the boat live longer and have a higher standard of care. So when you go to sell it, it'll survey better, it will be healthier, and it will retain its value better. I think, you know, the biggest thing about boating is that people talk about my best day, my second best day, right? The best day was buying it, the second best day was selling it and getting it.
I don't buy that. Yeah.
Getting it gone. And I want to change that. Every day is a great day. But you have to maintain it and make sure that it is that thoroughbred horse. So when you're going to see it and you walk down the dock, or it's behind your house, you look at it and it's shiny and looks great and it's ready to go boating and it's happy. And, you know, I think that to me is just something that comes from the racing side of me, because you want to make sure your boat is 100% ready to go. The bottom is clean. The sails are new. The rig is tuned. All the lines are working. It's important that you're able to change gears and make it happen. And having that same thought process to the everyday boater, that your boat is there to be taken care of it. So let's figure out how we're going to take care of it and make it the best that it can be.
Nice. So tell us more about Engel and Volkers. That's a cool name to begin with. Maybe we can start there. What's the history behind that?
Well, Engel and Volkers obviously was started in Hamburg, Germany in the mid-70s, early 70s. And, you know, they developed the idea that it would be great to create this great name and platform. So Christian Volkers was the driver behind that and became very successful. And throughout Europe, they made the leap to the United States in 2006, probably not the best time to make a leap anywhere, but it's when the company brought its flags here. The first two locations that it landed was Naples, Florida and Newport Beach, California. And so when we rolled in under the banner in 2019, we were in Newport Beach. And so the next spot, the next flag to make it work would be Naples, Florida, just to be part of that story. And it's really going from California. There's two states that you have to be licensed and make happen as a broker. California, which is probably the most difficult. You have to take a test and go through a process to be vetted. And then the next hardest is Florida. And then the rest was trying for us to get all the regular associations, the associations that govern yachting and boat sales across the country, to be competent in our abilities and who we are. And so we've been very successful in that. But over the period of time, Engel & Volkers grew to just 2,000 locations throughout 30 countries. Wow. Which is really exciting. So it's a great network. It's a very high-end luxury brand to leverage off of. Christian Volkers himself is a sailor. Sven Odia, who is the current CEO, is a great boater. So they understand, and I think they appreciate my passion for the industry. And here in North America, there's just right around 300 locations, mostly in all cities, great cities, luxury locations. And there's about 6,000 real estate advisors that are part of the network in North America, about 18,000 worldwide. So it's a great camaraderie of people who are passionate about what they do on the real estate side. And it's really, it's fun. It's just, for me, it's just being able to connect to all the partners that own each one of the franchises around the country, as well as Canada, Mexico, Europe. It's a lot of like-minded individuals who really care about the little micro markets and being the best that they can be, providing bespoke service and caring for their clients. And you know, networking with high-end individuals. Here in North America, there's a winery division that sells wineries and helps develop wineries and help family office people create their own brand of wine and winery, which is kind of a fun story and great people to network, because most of those people also have a love and affinity for boating. So there's a lot of cross-pollination in that. So it's a lot of fun. For me,
and the boat has a wine cellar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Every boat has a wine cellar, right? And it's really fun, because I came to the realization that a lot of the ranchers, because we have a ranch division too, a lot of the ranchers in the flyover states you would think would never have an affinity for boating, but they do. And many of them you'd find will have a family yacht someplace that becomes part of their destination, whether it's in Costa Rica or Cabo San Lucas or the Caribbean or Mediterranean. And it's fun to connect with them and help them reposition grandfather's boat with the next generation, so we get them the right boat. It's fun. And we network and work with a lot of great yacht donation programs. So we really do a lot of fun stuff with AMI Kids or with Sea Keepers, which was started by Bill and Melinda Gates. Those are all really great programs for people with legacy boats to find a way to donate it and get the tax advantage of that donation. And then for the end buyer to get an great opportunity on their purchase of that vessel. And then for the proceeds to go to whether you're taking care of at-risk youth and helping them grow and become in the people that they're destined to be, or with Sea Keepers reinvesting into sea and biology and learning about the ocean and how we can all be better caretakers of it, and what our human interaction has done to the ocean and the changes that are going on. So it's kind of fun to be able to interact with them and then be able to work with some of these legacy opportunities and help them throughout their transition.
Well, it certainly sounds like you stepped into a pretty good spot. It's like, you know, starting a wine business. Oh, well, you need a place to drink the wine. Buy a yacht. Oh, you have bought some nice property on the coast. Oh, well, now you need a yacht to fill the dock. Oh, you got a ranch. Well, you're going to need a yacht too.
Right. Absolutely. You know, it's dealing with people that you wouldn't think would be your ordinary boater, but they are. And it's helping develop those relationships. And what I love is that we have partners within our organization who have developed great relationships with these families and owners and people who are invested in their communities. And then we're able to sit with them and transfer that trust and continue on with that service in the maritime space. And sometimes it's just that family that all of a sudden it's transitioned and now they have more time. And so they want to spend that time out on the water. And so being able to be that conduit to help them go through that process to make it happen is tremendous. You know, the client I'm working now and who's in Spain, that one has properties in Portugal, and we're going to buy a yacht in Sicily and transition it all through, and helping him go through the process so he can be a tremendous mariner. And he couldn't be more excited by the fact that we're able to refer him friends that we have relationships with who are there and are as passionate as I am about teaching people how to be great boaters. And it's fun. You know, when you get in that position where you're able to transfer joy and passion and help people through a process, for them to find their joy and passion about something that they've probably spent a good portion of their life dreaming about, and only interacting it through it through YouTube or other, you know, social media outlets that are other people are posting, like, man, they're having such a great time in Croatia. Yep. I really would love to be there. I'm like, well, you can. Let's give you the skills and ability and expertise to make that happen, because your family has provided you with all the other opportunity that makes it work. And, you know, it's just, we're just another pathway for people to get to where they need to go boating. But yet we care about the fact that we want everybody to be a great boater.
Love it. And Walter, I understand you're a writer as well. Can you tell us about your column and how maybe that's morphed over the last, you know, few years, decades, however long you've been doing it?
Oh, well, I love that. Well, so I started a piece years and years ago called The Mooring Minute, and it's basically taking inspirational messages or books I've read or conversations I've had with people that spark a thought, and put that into a brief essay or brief writing that kind of connects it from a boating perspective. You know, I mean, everything you could ever learn or want to learn in life, you can express through boating, just because you can have all kinds of experiences in a very short period of time. It possesses all the skills of time management, risk management, you know, meteorology, weather, change. You're always dealing with change. Nothing's ever the same. So I created a piece called The Mooring Minute that used to go out on a weekly basis. It's now morphing into a book. And I couldn't be more excited about it, because it's really kind of a lifelong journey of essays that I've written of how can I boil all this down to a minute and present it to people in something that has a bunch of nuggets of wisdom that they can take away. And but yet they can see it through an eye of a mariner that, oh, I understand how that experience of docking or the experience on the race course or, you know, that racing across the Pacific Ocean, you had to deal with all these issues, and how those issues are really the same issues that a business person or any person have to deal with on a daily basis. And, you know, you go, look, you've been through a storm and you still survive. At the end of the day, you have a great story to tell. So it's fun. It's just another part of another outlet for me to help express what I've learned and seen and read through the eyes of a mariner, that gives people that extra sets of skills of ability to do fun things.
And how'd that start? Just out of the blue?
It just started out of the blue. I started doing it for myself. You know, you would go to a seminar, or you'd go and you'd learn something, and I'd start looking at my, you know, pages of notes, and then I'm like, how can I really remember this and make it so it's poignant to me? And I would start all of a sudden, wow, hey, that situation reminds me of this mark rounding where we had three guys and we're trying to jostle for a position, and there's a hierarchy and rules and et cetera. And so, you know, it's putting that moment into a story that allows the people to get to the correlation of what someone's trying to teach in a business setting out on the race course. I felt there was a great connection there. And for me, at least for me, it was resounding and fun. And so there's probably 200 of those now. And, you know, it's coming together. It's going to be a fun little book. I'm looking forward to get out someday.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And as we approach the end, Walter, I mean, I know in your current incarnation, you are now a broker. What are, some tips that you could offer our listeners as far as that goes?
Well, I tell you what, it's managing your day so your day doesn't manage you. And, you know, it's really kind of making sure that you have you begin with the end in mind and you know where you're going to go, right? So there's all those thoughts that people have written in books. You just put it in a point that makes sense. It's, you know, sometimes you become the shiny penny and you have to realize that people's time are valuable. There's no one's more time valuable than your own. And, you know, you've got to spend it wisely. If you're always spending it and not saving any for yourself, then there's not much more to give, right? And so it's really kind of just being able to plan your journey and making sure that there's gaps in that plan so you can replenish yourself and be ready for that next opportunity, because you never know what the next phone call will yield or the next person you're going to talk to is going to yield, and how they're going to influence and change your life and traject your journey. I'm really blessed that I had the opportunity to, you know, not only kind of grow, but now become not only be able to talk about boating on a national level, but international level, and really try to impart my passion on the world that, look, there's 2/3 of the globe is water. There's every reason to go out and enjoy it. There's thousands of miles of great coastline. There's so many great opportunities on all coasts to go boating, whether it's the Great Loop, whether it's cruising the Caribbean or all the intercoastal waterways of Florida. There's all kinds of great places to go and spend time on the water, but that begins with a plan. So you return with the same number of people and the same number of fingers that you left with.
Awesome. So, Walter, thank you so much. Maybe final question is any parting advice for, you know, people listening?
Untie the ties that are holding you back and make a plan and go boating. The only thing that keeps us from going boating is our fear, and there's nothing to fear. It's just every opportunity to go out and enjoy time on the water. I truly think we're all meant to be attached to the water, and, you know, whether you're competing in a sailboat race or competing on an international level, or you're just going out to go to a sandbar and park and meet new friends, there's every opportunity to go out boating and have a great time and be safe while you're doing it. And just enjoy the moment. There's nothing like watching dolphins play. Sitting at a restaurant this last weekend and you know, there's a pot of dolphins out playing. It never gets old. You know, I mean, yeah. I've been a part to starting dolphin stampedes for people where we go out and go sailing and, you know, next thing you know, you have 100 dolphins jumping. It's a magical.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a magical moment. So, you know, whether you're looking, going to go look at whales and whatnot, there's a lot of tremendous opportunities. I mean, the news is full of people lately being bitten by sharks and got to plan better, right?
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's every reason to be respectful of the ocean. And I think that those tend to be reminders to be respectful, but there's every reason to go boating.
So where can people find you and read more about you and all that type of stuff?
Well, they can find me. I mean, you can find me on probably every social media platform. I'm there, or Walter Johnson, EVY, Walter Johnson, Engel Volkers, or you can find us on the Engel and Volkers Yachting website, evyachting.com. We have a great website and we have a great marketing team that does a lot of fun things. We have a newsletter that goes out weekly that's very well read. So I would suggest people to sign up for that. And I'm easy to find. So I generally respond to almost every single text and call I get. And we have a great team. You know, we have a great team on the West Coast and great team here on the East Coast, as well as Europe now. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of passionate boaters on our team. And we're here to help people live their best lifetime memories on the water, right? So we're here to help them have the best of days. So couldn't be more excited about it. And I really enjoy the time talking with you guys and looking forward to great things.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us.
Enjoy, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
Check back every Tuesday for our latest episode. And be sure to like, share, and subscribe to ShipShape.pro.